Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. Very good to be here. We're on a boat.
We are on a boat.
It's really, I feel really jiggy. We thought we'd go
quite famous.
Yeah. It's like a, we thought we'd go proper hip hop and go on a boat.
Yeah.
How are you, Rumaj?
I'm good, yeah. How are you?
Really good, mate.
Good weekend. It's a Monday.
Yes, it is a Monday. I did a DVD record on Friday night. It was all right. I mean, it was good. The show was good, but you're always a bit nervous because you do a joke and then you think that is how the joke is going to be now.
Locked in.
Yeah.
Was there anything that just tanked?
No. What do you mean? No. Well, I've done the show 70-something times. If it's fucking tanking now, I've got a problem, haven't I?
Trying out some new material.
Yeah, I did. I took on notes. Just like workups and stuff.
Yeah.
That's how I operate. Well, how was your weekend?
Yeah, it was all right. I had my mum and dad up yesterday for lunch.
You are so hip-hop, aren't you? What did you make them?
No, I took them out.
Where did you take them?
I went to a restaurant in called Foxlow.
Right.
Had some roast beef. We all had roast beef.
Did you have Yorkshire pudding?
Yeah, big old. My dad picked his up and ate it like a sort of a slice of cake.
Do you know what my dad did once? He's not with us anymore, God rest his soul. But we went into Nando's once and he opened the top on the olives thing and just started eating it because he thought it was like a bar snack. Then just like literally fucking putting his claw into the bowl and just stuffing his face.
But you don't say anything. I just thought, let's just see.
Yeah. it's just how this guy does it.
Yeah.
What else have you been up to?
I'm watching X Factor.
Yes.
Just true hip hop.
Yeah. Now,
I've been talking to you before about Honey G.
Yeah. It's very exciting because hip hop has made it to the X Factor.
It's finally being repped in the mainstream. As it should be.
What I think is good about X Factor is they're not frightened of putting people that have obviously got some sort of mental disability and putting them into the public eye.
To the max.
I mean, she is actually unethical, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to end in tears.
Yeah.
I just can't work it out. Is it a character?
I don't think it is. She never drops a character. She's like,
no.
It's amazing.
What's the G stand for?
I think she's like, she's putting herself as like Ali's brother. Sister. Ali's a
brother.
Ali's... Ali's sister. I think that's what the whole idea is.
She did Tupac last night. Or no, Saturday it was.
Yeah, California Love.
California Love.
You showed me the clip of it. She managed Dre's bit okay. Tupac's bit.
And then she just sort of gave up.
Yeah. It was bad. Anyway, it's good to see hip-hop
keeping
in the
an
mainstream.
Eye on that.
Yeah. We'll be keeping you updated.
This is the bit where we introduce our guest.
I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by drum and bass legend. Is that...
I mean, you can say that. You know, it wouldn't necessarily be true, but, you know.
DJ Friction. Hello, Friction. How you doing? What do we call you on this?
I don't like DJ.
Mr. Friction.
Do you know what? This is so bad, right? Because you've told me this so many times.
Have we had this conversation?
Yeah, yeah. Like you said, it really pisses you off. Yeah, I still keep doing it. Sorry.
Are you just Friction?
I just prefer the Friction. I don't know. It's not really... I mean, it doesn't really, really piss me off, but it's just slightly irritating. Mildly irritating.
Yeah. Like, well, I hate when people call me Comedian Ramesh.
Look, don't use your surname.
So, yeah, but is your real name known to the general public?
Yeah, I think we should just roll with the real name.
Okay, fine. So
I don't know what that is.
Francis.
Hey, Francis.
No, it's Ed.
Oh, hey, Ed.
Now, people are thinking, oh, my God, how did you get Ed Friction onto the podcast, Rom? You must, like, because you said you're into hip-hop, but now you must have... You must have like your finger in all sorts of parts. You must be finger on the pulse in all sorts of genres. But the truth is, the reason I know Ed is because we used to work together at Sunglass Hut, didn't we?
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I bet you guys have seen some things.
Oh, my God. Gatwick Airport.
Oh,
South,
that one.
South Terminal Airside. Oh, my God. I think I bought
my sunglasses there, genuinely.
Yeah.
Gatwick Airport, 4 o'clock in the morning, South Terminal, Departures Lounge is a dangerous place to be.
People started drinking by then, or carried, as they're like...
There were a few times, I don't know if you ever did this, but I used to do, because I was like young then and still like enjoyed life, but I used to do this thing where I'd go out, if I had an early shift at Sunglass Hut, I'd go out and then take, like, and then just have like clothes at the shop.
Oh, so you can and just then I'd the come Gatwick straight
in,
yeah,
get the Gatwick Express, get straight in, get changed and then just work battered. Did you ever do that?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of times. Saying that, we didn't do loads of work, to be honest, though, did we, to be honest? I was quite good at selling the cloths with the sunglasses, I think, if I remember.
That was a big thing at Sunglass Hut.
How they make a bit more money.
You have to increase your UPT, which is units per transaction.
Right.
You had to kind of instill a fear factor into your customer as well. So it's just like, no cloth.
And then you go like this. This is what you got to do. You've got to really pressure them into it. So you go, would you like a cloth? It's only £6, right? And they go, no, thank you. Mm. And then you go, so what were you planning on cleaning the glass with? And they go, oh, just use tissue. And you go, ooh.
Yeah, you had to. You had
oh,
to
my God.
Of, and then you, what, tell them a horror story.
Yeah, you tell them basically, what you tell them is that the tissue scratches the UV coating.
Yeah.
And then basically you're burning your retinas if you use paper tissue.
Which is a lie.
It is a lie. Yeah. It's actually, paper tissue is probably the best for cleaning glasses.
We've exposed Sunglasses Hut here.
I remember it used to be really funny, actually, because we'd obviously get bored. I mean, it seemed funny at the time, but we would try and instill games, wouldn't we, and sort of elements of fun into the selling. Do you remember that?
I do. Holy shit, we used to try and put words into the...
Yeah, and I remember that we'd get so bored. It would be really early in the morning, and we'd kind of like try and instill a name, and I think... You'd be like, all right, you've got to, when you sort of sell it to the customer, you've got to put a word into it. And you'd said to me, you go, right, you've got to say Coulthard when you sell these glasses.
Is that like, really what? I didn't say Coulthard, did I?
The racing driver.
Yeah, because I just thought that must be so difficult to put that into a thing.
And I think you did Coulthard, and then it was really easy. I just said, oh, yeah, David Coulthard wears these glasses or whatever. And I think, can you remember the word?
Yes, I can remember.
What was the word
Ed
I made you
Ed gave me
sell?
Hermaphrodite.
And did he get it in?
Of course I did. I said...
I said,
at the end of the track... So I hadn't done it all the way along. Mm. Ed's watching me the whole way through. And then right as we're doing it, I said, could I... I don't know what, I just thought context is impossible in this situation.
Yeah.
So I thought I'm just going to go out on a limb. Yeah. I said, can I, because you know you have to see the boarding pass.
Yeah.
So I said, could I see your hermaphrodite boarding pass? I just thought if I say it quickly, they'll think it's a technical term. And then the guy went, what?
And that was the last the Sunglass I ever saw of Romesh.
Were you both still early stages of your careers now then, or were you,
I wasn't,
like, were you
no,
dabbling?
I wasn't dabbling at all, but you were, weren't you, in drum and bass?
Trying, yeah. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's going to make me feel really old.
What level were you at then? Were you playing at, you were playing out of clubs, because I remember coming to see you.
I think I was getting literally, if I was lucky, I'd get a tenner to DJ, and, you know, I'd take that gladly.
Yeah.
My missus wouldn't be happy about it. But
I reckon I was at that stage maybe paying a tenner. To go and do a gig, like pay to play. Yeah, you know, pay to play.
Yeah,
you have to either pay money
or bring an audience
with you. So you used to take like 5 or 6 friends, and then the audience would be my friends and me.
Well, you said the laugh.
Yeah, you'd
smash it, and then everyone else would
die on their asses. Yeah. I'd say that deliberately. Like, don't be encouraging. Just really fucking stony face the other pricks. If you can end you can end a career tonight, that'd really help me out.
You get a bonus beer. Yeah.
And if it's an Asian comedian, just heckle the fuck out of them. I don't want any more. I don't want anybody damaging my USP here. Do you know what I mean?
Here's a little bit that you like to call. How did you get into hip hop?
So drum and bass DJ, but into hip hop, right?
Yeah, always. Yeah.
So how did you get into it?
Drum and bass or hip hop?
Hip hop.
I think it kind of really started when I was at school, friends being into music. I've always been into lots of different sort of types of music. So I think the first music I was into was like Nirvana sort of grunge music.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day. And I kind of just...
Tyler, did you dress like it?
Yeah, like I had ridiculous, stupid curtain hair and like long, silly t-shirts. And,
yeah,
you know, that kind of like look. And,
be quite
a
moody prick.
Yeah.
You've got to try and do the lifestyle, haven't
you? Late on thick, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
I don't even know where we're going for our second holiday.
Yeah, God, my life's so hard. You know, Mum, make me another bacon sandwich. But, you know, like it was, yeah, I kind of got into music. I got into rave music, and a lot of people that were into rave music, hip hop kind of ran alongside it. Like a lot of my friends, you know, smoked stuff and listened to hip hop basically, and that's how they kind of got into it.
Do you mean marijuana? Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know if I was allowed to say it.
Yeah.
All right, okay, cool. Yeah,
we're doing a crack special in the next couple of weeks, so don't worry about that.
We're trying crack for the first time.
You got to warm into that, haven't you?
But this chat is going to be our gateway chat into talking about crack in a later episode.
Oh, brilliant. One of my employers will love that. Basically, yeah, that was kind of like got into hip hop that way.
Rack your brains. Give it some thought. What was the first hip hop album you bought?
I think the first album that I bought was Dr. Dre 2001.
Yes, mate. Still Dre Day, AK. Though I've grown a lot, can't keep it home a lot.
Because when I frequent the spots that I'm known to rock, you hear the bass from the truck when I'm on the block. Which is like such a gateway album into hip hop. I think I can't just be me. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure there's other people
Honey G.
Do you know what? When you guys first started talking, I thought I'd walked into the wrong podcast. Literally, it was like, okay,
yeah,
so the first three topics, I just got to let you guys know, were mum and dad coming around for Sunday lunch.
Yeah, Yorkshire puds.
Roast beef and Honey G. And to be honest, I was going to go out the door straight away at that point, but I thought, no,
Hold on, mate. Then you got involved and we started talking about Song last night. So why don't you stop dissing it?
Yeah, all right. Sorry.
Dr. Dre 2001. Great album. Did you ever end up going back and buying the Chronic?
Yeah.
So that album was like loads of like sample heavy or whatever. Mm. And then 2001 was a completely different like sound, wasn't it? It was all very electronic and stuff like that. There is a rumor that he didn't produce all of it. You know this rumor, right?
Who was it? Who did it?
There's a number of apparently
a ghost producer.
Well, apparently Dre would like get people in on studio sessions, and these young producers would be really excited about. Don't worry, it's not going to be a Jimmy Savile story. So Dre would get like all these other producers in, right? And like they would like start doing beats and go, "Yeah, that's good shit," right? Yeah. And then next thing you know, it's on fucking Forgot About Dre.
Press record without looking.
But that does happen today, and essentially now it's been given a name. Yeah, obviously, like, it's now kind of almost acceptable to be a, you know, ghost, you have your music.
I didn't know this. What are you talking about?
Well, like the whole ghostwriting thing. That's what they were kind of accusing Dre of, right?
Yeah.
For those early albums. But I think it was kind of more of a case of probably Dre's in the room. And he was part of it, but he may have
inspired them. Yeah.
He may have had engineers.
But if I go into a studio and there's an engineer in there, and I go, "Can you make it go ding 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 ding?" I'm not fucking producing.
What tune's that?
Just a thing. That'd be my. That's not a riff I've always thought about doing on a track.
It's called Digga Ding.
I'm just freestyling. It sounded a bit more Asian than I wanted to, I'll be honest with you. But like,
I don't know if I'm just going to carry. Let's move on.
But what I mean is, I'm not producing. Then am I?
No.
If you say I want it to sound like this, is that producing? That's not producing. You have to actually be able to do it, don't you, or not?
Yeah, I mean it's a grey area, right. You know. It's a grey area. Oh, man, I tell you what, you're on fire.
That's why I make the big bucks.
This is, I can see. You're not paying a tenner now, are you? But like, yeah, I think there was talk of that. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people involved in this album. There was a lot of people involved in, I'm probably jumping ahead too far, but there's a lot of people involved in the new album.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can, you know, there's a lot of, it's pretty amazing album. So, I mean.
The thing is.
I don't think we should get onto a negative one.
The thing is, let's accept that everyone thinks that Dre's a legend. Obviously, the richest guy in hip hop now, isn't he? He's a lot more money than Jay-Z, isn't he? Dre?
Just from somebody beats.
Headphones.
From those incredible headphones. So he's a legend, and obviously NWA are incredible, and he's put out great albums. I'm just trying to explore that. I'm just playing devil's advocate here, right? He got.
I hate when people say that.
Right? He got. Sorry. What is up with you, man? You get very aggressive. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
No, I'm joking.
It's those sunglass hats.
It's only taken me about 5 hours to get here.
So basically, he's got producers in, these young kids that he's like grooming or like you know,
exploiting. Exploiting.
They're trying to get me into trouble.
So he's got these people in, and also he doesn't write his own lyrics, right? Because obviously he's got like Jay-Z. I think Jay-Z wrote Still Dre, right?
Yeah.
So what the fuck is he doing? I mean, like, do you know what I mean? He, like, if he's not producing, which he is, I'm just pushing this argument to, he's not actually doing a lot, is he? What I'm saying is Dr. Dre's a fraud. Who's with me?
I'm there. I need more evidence, though. Maybe we get a Louis Theroux documentary going on.
I walk through the door thinking, let's celebrate Dre. And you have taken
exposed.
That in the worst way.
Yeah, sorry.
I've gone that way and you've gone that way.
No, I know. Sorry. No, listen.
Leave him alone.
Sorry, yeah. 2001 is a great album. It's a great album. It is great. And all those allegations of Ghost... I don't know anything about it. I don't know why. I just brought it up as a possible topic of a discussion. I didn't know you were friends with him. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
On his latest album, everybody was like talking about, oh my God, when's he going to drop this new album? When's he going to drop this new album? And then when it came out, it didn't... I mean, it's good. It's a good album, but it's not... It didn't get all the fanfare that I was expecting it to. Do you know what I mean?
Do you think because it was too associated with the film that it wasn't a sort of standalone thing? Maybe.
I don't know.
I think that people had waited so fucking long for a Dr. Dre album. They thought they'd listen to it and levitate.
Yeah, literally. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, like, literally, like...
Yeah, yeah.
That was personally my kind of thought. I mean, there's tunes on there that, you know, some great tunes on there. I think that you've just got to compare it. If you compare that album to 2001, it's a bit difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like that 2001 as an album, it's, you can still listen to it now. I don't think I've ever listened to a hip hop album as much as that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's like,
what's your favorite track?
Next Episode is a big tune. Obviously, still
hold up.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
Nice.
It'll come in now. Hold up. Can you say hold up again and just keep going back?
You do it clean.
Yeah. Hold up. Yeah.
Nice.
Hold up.
No, don't fucking. It's my bit. Okay, go on.
Don't let him have all the limelight. No.
Say it to support him.
Any tracks you didn't like on it?
No, not really. Well, no, because it wouldn't be the best album I've ever heard in my entire life.
Well, you say that. But
here we go.
Well,
we're going back. Is this the old devil's advocate? Yeah, oh, here he is.
Can't get rid of him.
Well, the DJ advocate. Well, DJ Friction, if I can play devil's advocate, if you listen, there are some albums, for example, Straight Outta Compton, right, is considered a classic and it is a good album, but it does peter out. I mean, that album is not solid the whole way through. It's front-loaded, that record. I think I might have said this before. Hmm. On 2001, I think there are a couple of weaker tracks on it.
Name and Shame?
I don't like The Watcher. There you go. It's controversial. Not that keen. No?
That's part of the whole... That's the whole... The soul.
That's part of the whole.
You're using music jargon. I can't quite get on. What's that? It's part of the whole...
That for me is like... That's one of the sort of like... That's one of the sort of...
The signature tune.
The core.
Yeah, the core. Yeah. Why don't you like that tune?
I don't like the way he whispers The Watcher. It just sounds pervy. I don't like it. Just say The Watcher. Be definite about it. I get it.
You want it to be a bit more aggressive.
Well, I just think if you say The Watcher, if you whisper The Watcher, which he does, it sounds like you're in a tree, like perving on someone in their house. Do you know what I mean?
But that is the point. He's watching, quietly sitting and analysing what's going on.
Yeah, but he's whispering it like he's like a pervert. Do you know what I mean? I just think you need to be aware of the vibe you're putting across. Do you know what I mean? And what I'm saying is, Dr. Dre, he's got these paedophile allegations going around, right? And now he's made a track where he's whispering The Watcher. That's what I'm saying. That's the point I'm making. And those paedophile allegations, by the way, I can claim they come purely from this podcast.
From you.
Purely from you. From you.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm joking. Anyway, it's a good album. It's a great album. I just don't like The Watcher. By the way, I'm on my own in that. I know that.
The Watcher. Can we discuss the skits in the album?
We're
anti-skit on this podcast. Oh, right. What do you think of the skits?
Well, I think they're brilliant skits. I think they're like, as far as
this is a really,
this is going,
it's really
badly.
No, I like it. It's like
it's good to have discussion, isn't it? So, what's your favourite skit on the album?
I don't know the names of the skits.
No, but I mean, like, you know, description.
Well, I don't know. I think that, you know, obviously they're like the quality of production on the skit.
Yeah.
All of them is pretty mad. You're kind of listening, like, it's, they're just very well produced skits.
Well, soundscaped. Basically.
Yes, very well soundscaped.
Have you ever,
good stereo imaging.
Have you ever in your life, 2001 being one of your favourite hip hop albums, have you ever said to anyone, you've got to listen to this and then played a skit? I'm genuinely asking the question.
No, but I have been in a car with my mum and one of the skits come on and I've been very embarrassed.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a fairly sexual one on there, isn't there?
Yeah. There's a sexual one on most albums that have got skits on. I've got a sexual one.
What was the one a while ago we were talking about that was a rapper having a plot?
Ludacris taking a shit, yeah.
That's not sexual, though, is it?
No, that's not sexual. No,
just skit in general. a shit skit.
They get very sexual. The Rupert goes, "What's that one about Ludacris taking a shit?" I found that very arousing.
Is that a shit?
Lens light there?
Oh God!
But we were talking about this, weren't we? It's like why no other genres of music adopt skits? Do they? Why is it?
Well, I mean,
do you think
from a like?
Yeah, do they do them in drum and bass? Yeah.
Basically, I would say that because we kind of a lot of albums that you'll get drum and bass albums, they'll kind of because drum and bass is very across the board. So you might have a tune that's kind of got a sort of techno influence or a jungle influence or whatever. And a lot of the time, people use they're more like an interlude.
Yeah,
so it's like a little musical interlude
within
to kind
the track.
Of, yeah, so yeah. That's like the drum and bass version of the skit sort of thing.
Yeah, but it's still music though, isn't it?
It's not musical, yeah.
It's not you. You would never
stand alone. Yeah.
You would never on one of your albums have a thing like where you're just like sitting in a room and then somebody comes in and starts giving you head or something. I mean, would that be a skit you'd put on your album?
Oh, my missus would kill me. no, I mean it's not. It's yeah. It's just
not.
Kind
my
of,
point is, I think skits are fine. Okay. Well, I don't think they're fine. I think they can be good, but my point is that they're never going to be better than a song. It's very difficult to say, make this point when Ed is trying to pour a glass of water silently.
It's I was trying. Is there no else
it
one?
Just looked really awkward. Okay. I know, right? It just looked really awkward.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There was one good skit, a big pun. Do you know Big Pun?
Yep.
You know, there's a car called an Acura, yeah? There's a gun called a Mac 10, right? So I'm setting up the story, why this skit is good, right? So Big Pun is like telling a story, goes, I can't remember exactly how the story goes, but something along the lines, I've got into a bit of trouble. And he goes, somebody was starting some beef with me or something. And then he goes, what happened next? And he goes, well, I didn't have a problem because I was packing a Mac in the back of the Ack, right? He goes, you're what? He goes, I was packing a Mac in the back of the Ack. And then they start going, back in the back of the back of the Ack, back in the back of the back of the Ack, for ages. It's fucking hilarious.
Back in the back of the back of the Ack, back in the back of the back of the Ack, back in the back of the back of the Ack, back in the back of the back.
That's a good skit.
Yeah.
It's not sexual. It doesn't turn on Rupert because there's no shit involved. Do you know what I mean?
So straight up fun.
No, that's a good one. I have interest. So you wouldn't call Dr. Dre 2001 your favourite ever hip-hop album? I'm taking that due to the devil's advocate.
No, I'll be honest with you, I was deliberately being a prick there. I do think it's a great album. I do, but I just think it's just good to like, if you like an album a lot, it's good to just try and pick holes in it, do you know what I mean? Like,
look for the negatives rather than the many positives that are in there.
Well, it's accepted that 2001 is a classic. So we could talk about what a great album it is.
Yeah.
You know, we could talk enthusiastic about it. We're not fucking Zane Lowe, mate. I want to like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
get underneath the
skin.
You want
to get into the nitty gritty.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
About Dre being a pedo, about him grooming young producers.
Yeah.
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 Romish's opinion, not mine.
Yeah.
AKA Friction.
2016.
Don't fucking distance yourself from me, mate. You're on the podcast now. Did you like The Chronic?
Yeah. I love The Chronic. It's like, I did that the other way around. I did it the wrong way around, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because okay, well, that's interesting.
Because I listened to The Chronic before I listened to 2001.
Me
thought
too.
They're both good.
Yeah.
There you go. What was it like when you went back to when you went to listen to The Chronic after listening to 2001? What was that like? Did you still enjoy The Chronic?
There's a more raw feel to it, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, like it's 2001's got all the bells and whistles, basically, isn't it? And The Chronic's a little bit more. That's where the sort of vibe started, I suppose. Yeah. So, yeah, they're different albums in that way. The production on 2001 is mad. Like I say, even to the sort of whole skit thing, it's like everything, all the beats, the sort of the crispness of the snares and like, it just, it's so well produced, you know, and there's some great bars on there, some great verses on there. And yeah, for me, it's just an amazing album. But yeah, like you say, it's a different vibe.
Production-wise, lyrically, very similar albums, right? But production-wise, and I reckon you can appreciate this on a level that I can't, or Rupert. Well, I don't know. I don't want to do you down, mate. But but production-wise, completely different, right? Because the production on 2001 is like crystal clean. Like crystal clean? Is that even a thing? Squeaky clean. Like it's proper, like precision. But The Chronic is a bit dirtier, isn't it?
Yeah, that's kind of. I think that's like a natural progression for them. Do you know what I mean? Whereas The Chronic was the original kind of raw kind of vibe stuck there and. That was it, and it was a whole new thing and a new movement and a, you know, and whereas, yeah, they basically went in on 2001 and it's like, yeah, serious, like, that's like pop production levels, you know what I mean? So, yeah, and, it, you know, the one thing, you know, like the Compton album, you listen to that and, yeah, there's not so many classics on there or whatever and, yeah, it tails away towards the end. I think that maybe is a fair assessment, do you know what I mean? But if you listen to that as a body of work and a music and a production, it's stunning. Listen to it. I could just listen to the beats on their own, you know, like, and just kind of marvel at the production.
Yeah.
Am I getting a bit too geeky?
No, it's good. We haven't had this on this podcast.
Romish is lost.
What do you mean I've lost?
No, you look really lost.
Do I look lost? No. That's just my general look. So who else do you like apart from Dre?
Do you mean sort of modern?
Yeah.
Kind of, as far as I listen to now, I've kind of got in modern hip hop. Obviously, it's changed quite a bit. Obviously.
Have you gone off it at all?
No. I still love it. You know, I listen to people now. Probably listen to people like Reggie Snow.
Yeah.
Like, I love Reggie Snow. I love Vic Mensa. You know, these kind of like Vic Mensa come out of America. He's doing like he can. Spit over a house beat, he can spit over these kind of, you know, like there's a lot of this new really really overproduced kind of wobbly kind of hip hop out there now. You know, where it's like the production's mad and you kind of almost listen to it and you're like, how are they going to spit bars over these beats, because the bars and the beats are just so overproduced. Hallelujah, hallelujah, you do you, more power to you. I'm a test drive, that X drive, pussy wet, it just got baptized. I'm a franchise, you a fraction, niggas broke, can't pay attention. I got drive, she trying to screw drive, guess I gotta do a drill. Hey, we've been, you know, it's a real interesting listen, and I think that's what I love about hip hop, where you can kind of listen to hip hop now like that, that takes different influences from different styles of music, you know, techno and there's house and there's whatever, and you can listen to the kind of raw, I'm happy listening to like raw hip hop, you know, like Mobb Deep, where it's literally just a sample, a little beat,
and
just someone just spitting wicked bars over it.
Yeah.
That's why I love hip hop, I think. I think that's why it always kind of interests me, and in the same way that drum and bass does, as far as taking influences from different types of music and putting it into one genre. Because that way it doesn't get boring at all.
Yeah.
And you can take those kind of raw, you know, elements of just spitting bars over a sample, and then you've got the really overproduced thing, like I say, that's, it's just interesting. They're like two completely different types of music, but just having the sort of, you know, bars over the top and lyrics, just, yeah, I just love it.
It's I mean, I think that's kind of what keeps people interested in it, in terms of like it keeps changing. Like if you look at the top 20, like in the US, for example, like if you look at the top 20 hip-hop tracks now compared to like even 5 years ago, the sound's completely different. I do think, like, it's interesting what you say about it, because like it used to be, I think, you'd have a beat and then you'd have the rap over the top of it and the lyrics would be much higher in the mix and it'd be like dominating the track. Now you're getting more tracks where, like, we're talking about this complicated beats or like really overproduced or whatever, sometimes like the vocals just sit in the track. Do you know what I mean? Like much more than they used to. Like it's almost like another instrument sometimes.
I think what you'll find a lot to do with is producers. You know, there's like in dance music production, you know, a lot of production, there's a thing now of like a loudness war. So yeah. Every sort of producer is trying to outdo the other producer with how loud they can get and how punchy and how fat sounding they can get their beat. It's not actually the most important thing, but it's more of a thing that's happened. And what in turn kind of come from that is they'll be like, yeah, let's just put him a little bit lower in the mix. Let's like kind of like take out a little bit more low end of the frequency of his voice or whatever, so I can just have my tune really loud. It's like, really, you know,
so
like,
irrelevant.
It's kind of like, you know, it happens in drum and bass music. Yeah. It happens in dance music. It should not be happening in hip hop.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Personally, that's just my sort of like, you know, because you want to listen to the tune.
Yeah.
You know, can listen to the lyrics and, you know, and I think that's definitely something that's happened in modern music. It's not a good thing.
Yeah. Well, like, I think like some modern hip hop, like, you know, you're talking about, you hear a beat and you go, how are they going to spit bars over this? And then you listen to the rapper and they're not actually spitting bars, they're just chatting unintelligible bollocks. Do you know what I mean?
It does happen. Going,
Yeah.
What tune's that?
That's
a future. That's a continuation of that one from earlier.
Part two, the next episode.
Has there been like much development in drum and bass? Like how's that changed as extreme as hip hop?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I got into drum and bass music, it was jungle.
Yeah.
So, and it was, again, that's kind of like what we were talking, you know, about the whole thing with Dre and the Chronic and 2001, that jungle essentially was a broken down raw format of what it's turned into now. It was brilliant to me, and I miss those jungle days where the music was so simplistic and easy. And whereas now it's, you know, you kind of, the mix down now and everything in drum and bass is so important. And sometimes you just kind of just want to just, you can't just put a tune down now and then just like go with a vibe, you know, like it's like the sort of production process of it. And I think that's happened a lot with music where that's got really, really important. But you still listen to some of the, you know, there's some bits out there, you know, hip hop wise, I think, where they don't do that. But I think people feel like to succeed today and have a big success, mainstream success, chart success or whatever, they feel like you've got to have that, you know, that overproduction in there.
Yeah. Do you like any... Now, I know that you work with a lot of MCs and stuff. Like, you're into your British stuff as well, right?
Yeah.
So what British like artists do you like? Are you into grime? You're into grime, right?
I do listen to grime. There's some acts I really, really, really rate. Yeah. I think, you know, it's brilliant what Skepta and Stormzy are doing. You know, it's amazing. And it's amazing that Skepta had that success with that album and release it independently.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
it is mad,
like,
isn't it?
That is literally like a big, you know, nearly punched, nearly like two fingers up, do you know what I mean? To the establishment, to the system. And I really like that, you know, because it's such a successful album and, you know, he's gone on so much. And I think, you know, Stormzy's so big already. He's massive, you know. Like, and I think he's had two EPs out.
Yeah.
Actually, if you break it down, he's had two EPs out, one EP and a single.
We were both nominated for the Times sort of Exciting Artist Award, and it went up to public vote.
And you and Stormzy?
Not just me and Stormzy. Oh,
that
loads
Bank
of people.
Thing,
the South Bank Award, yeah. Time, and yeah. Stormzy, he won quite comfortably.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Were you there?
No, I wasn't. Shall I tell you how I knew I hadn't won? When I said I can't make it and nobody batted an eyelid, that's when I realised that I probably wasn't wasn't in the running.
That's a good way to test the water, because you're almost like kind of putting it out there. It's like, you know, tell your agent.
You were ready to go.
When can we get the cameras into Romesh to sort of record the speech beforehand?
Can you let them know that there's a chance I may not get there tonight? It's just a smidgen, do you know what I mean? And then it's like, that's fine.
On the phone to my agent, I said, how are they, what alternative arrangement? No, they said, that's fine. Sorry you couldn't make it. All right. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Was there a slight element of disappointment? No. Okay, no.
But yeah, it is pretty, and obviously, like, with Skepta winning the Mercury, I don't know if you read the thing about how many more copies he sold since winning the Mercury than before.
No.
What is it?
It's like a 230% increase on sales or something like that. And is Kano's back out on tour, right? Is he taking a live band out of him or something?
I don't know, why?
I think so, that's what I'm saying. saying. That's what I'm saying.
Jesus.
That's a
news section in the podcast.
I can't believe I just said that out loud, man.
Can we get a sting made?
Sorry.
That's what I'm saying.
Hell, what Romesh is saying.
Oh, I'm crying.
P Money. I want to talk about. Do you like P Money?
Yeah, love P Money.
That tune, Panasonic.
Tell me who P Money is or not.
P Money's like
British
grime artist. Mm. Just an amazing MC. I love that dude, man.
I'm really, really glad for P Money because he's been grafting for a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to get my voice back.
Yeah. Really emotional.
It's been coughing. He's not crying about P Money. I just want to make that clear.
It's just
have some of that water you poured quietly.
Rather emotional.
P Money's been on the grind and it just gets me, you know?
He's been on it for ages and he's kind of now coming into this thing where he's got his single and you know, got his album. We actually did a tune together. I had a tune called Kingpin that I did with Scream about 3 or 4 years ago and P featured on that. You picked up my pad, I didn't tell you to take it. Now you're confused and mad, it's game over as soon as you played it. So you ignored my fine flow to get the cough up and you paid it. Looking ever so sad as if somebody gave you a facelift. Yeah, and just like really professional on it. Delivers, you know, great.
Were you
artists.
Disappointed that he's professional? Because do you does part of you expect does somebody just rocks up whenever, do you know what I mean, phones it in or whatever? It's cool, isn't it?
I don't know. Well, not really. It is. It's a pain in the backside, mate, to be honest, if you're sitting there waiting for the studio. And I've done it before where I've had vocalists come in the studio, I hate when people are late.
Yeah. we have established that he was late.
No, we haven't. This is a callback to a joke that's not been made.
What I'm about to say is completely hypocritical, so I apologise for that. Okay. But you know, that sort of awkward feeling when you're at a studio and you've got a session booked in and the person kind of rocks up an hour or two late.
Oh my God, so fucking annoying.
We specifically hired a boat.
Yeah,
especially when you hire a boat to do the podcast on. But I've done it before and I've had vocalists or whatever and they come in the studio, literally rock up 2 hours late.
Mm. Yeah.
And I did have a session once and she rolled up 2 hours late. And
she.
Yeah, we're narrowing it down here, aren't we? So it is. And she rolled up 2 hours late and literally just sat in there, me and the studio owner, and it was like, okay. And she just walked in, didn't apologise.
No.
No apology.
No, apology. You would just be polite in that situation, wouldn't you?
And literally, the words were, just had to have a meeting with my team.
Oh my God.
No apology. And then actually...
And that is the story of how Ed worked with Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah. But like, it is. It's really annoying when people are late, basically.
Yeah.
So, but he's really professional and he's great and glad he's doing well. I'm looking forward to hearing this album. And I really rate Bonkers as well. Bonkers is great.
Yeah. Bonkers' Instagram game is tight.
Very tight.
Yeah. How so?
It's just like, I like all the grime artists, what they're doing on Instagram. They're like constantly updating and shit like that. Ed had to have a go at me the other day because he helped me out.
People are going to think that we actually hate each other.
Yeah, I know.
Well, because you've started gramming a bit, haven't you?
I've started on the Instagram. Yeah.
It's the same joke, though, isn't it, every time?
Do you mean the photo?
The after tour one, Yeah, no, it's good.
It's different
but
photos
you need
every
that.
Time.
Is that a joke then? Because I was trying to work out if that was a joke or whether it was serious.
You don't know what's happening below that head.
It's just because, I tell you why I did that, right? So for those of you who don't know, I just put a photo of me after a gig in a hotel room or wherever, or in the car on the way home. I just think it's funny that you have a gig that's really good fun, and then minutes later,
alone,
you just fucking sitting on your own, Pringles in a hotel room, just trying not to cry.
Do you know what I think you should do though?
Yeah, go on.
I get the joke. Yeah, oh, it's good. Yeah, it's a good one.
You could not have been more sarcastic, mate.
I mean,
you literally could not have laid it on any thicker than what you just did.
Sorry. No, yeah, go on. You're always funny.
No,
you're
no,
funny
go
all the time.
No. Mm. Go on. What do you think I should do, mate? Are you playing devil's advocate?
Yeah, I'm playing your favourite, your mate. I think you should maybe try and up the sort of filter game on it or something. Just make it look a little... Are you going for a sort of raw look with these pictures?
I don't think you think about it that much.
I just think with your face, you should add a filter. Is that what you're basically...
No! Oh, this is going bad. No, but I like it. You're keeping it real.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Thank you. I've just got Snapchat as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Are you on Snapchat?
Yeah, I'm on Snapchat. Yeah.
You added me as a friend the other day. I don't know what that means, but...
Well, I don't know what it means.
We can watch each other.
We can directly...
We can be the watcher.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. But Instagram...
Snapchat, that's how you respond to people doing callbacks. Yeah. Okay.
Snapchat can be really annoying, by the way.
How do you mean?
Well, because people just send you snaps. You know, like...
That so is I've it, got, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's kind of it, yeah. But I kind of get, like... For some reason, I get about 5 Snapchats a day of people just smoking weed. I don't know why. You know, literally, it will literally be like a picture of them, like, good times, like that. And it's like,
just putting that into the ether.
Cheers, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, man. Hip hop grapes.
Is there anything you don't like about hip hop?
Kanye.
Okay, this is very controversial, isn't it?
Do you know what? Like I was thinking about, you know, this scenario, this subject or whatever, and there are sort of some things that are annoying, but Kanye's I love his music, but I just find him I can't stand him as a person.
Yeah,
is that bad?
It's not bad. I think it's a sort of commonly held view. What do you think about the fact that is just how he is because he's like a genius or whatever, and that's just
all cop out, isn't
all
it?
Geniuses
really?
Are a tortured. Bit knobby.
Tortured soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All that shit.
I don't know. I love his tunes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I do love his music, but I do, like, what was it I saw the other day? I saw a tweet a little while ago, and he basically said, oh, all y'all that are making, that was my attempt at American accent.
Yeah,
I won't do
good.
It again.
I thought, it's very, it's very good.
You know, like, that are making the apps for kids, you know, phone
all
you
that
games.
Are making the kids apps,
you know, you should be ashamed of yourself trying to get them to buy £1 $1 tokens or whatever, because, you know, like, the kids they need the tokens,
mate,
to
do
to
I know
to the next
do
level.
I know my but, oldest son spent 120 quid on one of them, mate.
It's but fucking insane. Trainers are 800 quid, mate.
I know.
You're moaning about an app and how it's like...
He's moaning about an app because kids are getting exploited, but he doesn't mind them making his trainers.
There we go. Or spending 800 quid robbing it off their mums. Yeah, exactly. That's the guy, like, to buy them.
He had a breakdown recently, didn't he, his fashion show.
Did he?
Yeah, he put on a fashion show at, like, I don't know.
Was that the one when he showed the exclusive clip of his mum, the video game, based on his mum going to heaven? We've spoken about this.
Yeah,
before.
No. This is more recent. This is more recent than that. He had a fashion show where it all went tits up. Like, the models were, like, falling over and shit.
That's
and
why it went tits up.
Jesus Christ, Rick. Anyway, apparently backstage he had a proper, like, flip out. He had every member of staff involved in the fashion show fired.
Great.
He's just like, he's actually losing it.
I think
he's
that's
actually
good.
Losing it. He's on the verge of releasing an incredible album where it's just him just shitting. Just losing his mind. Do you know what I mean?
It is amusing. It is amusing. Like, when he... Do you remember the mic dropping incident?
No, go on. What mic?
Just where he dropped the mic.
What, are the MTV Awards?
Yeah. You know, like, he is entertaining. The whole Taylor Swift thing and everything. And, like, he is funny.
Yeah.
But he's irritating at the same time.
I know.
I'm not good with it. I just want someone nice in the middle.
Yeah, not nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Do you like any of his music, though?
Yeah. His music, he's been part of some amazing tunes, you know, and he's obviously a great artist, you know, but he just annoys me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. I just felt like I had to get that off my
chest. No, it's good. It's good. Yeah. It's good.
Scripes.
Do you watch any live hip hop, or have you seen any live hip hop?
Yeah, not as much as I should. I don't get out to sort of concerts or gigs.
Quick question. Live hip hop, do you think it's any good?
Yeah, I mean, it depends how the production's done and, you know, how it is as a whole. I think live hip hop can be brilliant if it's done in the right way.
Yeah.
Do you not, Devil's Advocate?
No, he's got a viewpoint on this.
I say it every time. We've said it so many times. I just don't think
maybe change it.
Okay. You want me to change live hip hop? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, change live hip hop. Okay. And therefore your viewpoint. Yeah.
Well, actually, what I have heard is Rupert and also somebody else that's been on this show saw Loyal Khaana.
Yeah. Right?
And said he was amazing live. So it can be done. And De La Soul are amazing live. And there's loads of groups I've seen that are amazing live. But I've seen loads of really good artists on record
not
come
represent.
And do a terrible live show.
Who?
Cannibal Ox. I mean, I've talked about this before. Cannibal Ox is one of the worst shows I've ever seen. I saw Blade once, and I really love Blade, but he
wasn't on stage for a lot of it because he's off his tits, and he just thought it'd be funny to do it off from off stage.
But that's actually good in a way. No, at least that's amusing.
Well, it's amusing for a bit, but then after a while you think, I haven't just paid to see an empty fucking stage for 2.5 hours. Do you know what I mean?
Have you seen Action Bronson live?
No.
Yeah, he's great. I saw him at Roundhouse.
It's different as well.
Yeah.
How'd you be different?
Definitely different. Because you treat me like I pay for the bed and never even slept in it. I pay for that crib and never stepped foot in. And now somebody else is eating all the pudding. So Action Bronson did a festival I did in Croatia a few years ago. I don't really get to see that many live performances or whatever lifestyle if I'm playing, or you know, I do try if someone that I really rate's at the same festival as me and stuff like that. But he did this festival in Croatia called Outlook. It's pretty, you know, like, it's not got all your sort of bells and whistles on it as a festival. You know, it's a brilliant festival, great place to go. But, you know, it's like, it's quite sort of, he was there and he was performing and he got in the crowd and yeah. he got lost in the crowd for about 5 minutes. And yeah, it was...
He encourages people to get on stage so he can chuck them off. There's loads of them on YouTube.
Yeah, well, this is what happened.
Like, people purposely do that, knowing they're going to get thrown off by him, yeah.
Yeah.
So he'll just bung them hard.
Has he got public liability insurance? That's
well, he must have, but the bloke, he did his performance. I'm sure it's very good. I'll try and get his number. but like, he did the performance at Outlook or whatever, and it was good. And then as he's finishing, like a photographer, looked like an official sort of photographer, sort of ran to get a picture with him, and he sort of went in the sort of selfie motion.
Yeah,
that's the selfie motion.
Yeah. Just so you know, that he's doing
great.
That now.
Yeah. That looked great on the podcast. Cheers, mate.
It's like a hip hop pose, actually, in a way. But
it's very Honey G.
Yeah.
Oh goodness.
Another callback.
Yeah.
yeah. Good. Yeah.
And like this guy went up to him to sort of take the picture with him, and he just started fighting the guy.
What?
Literally, just started fighting the bloke. Like, just like a little, it was like he was trying to punch him.
Great.
Repeatedly.
That's what you need.
Repeatedly.
A bit of entertainment.
Yeah. And then the security sort of pulled them apart, whatever, yeah. and he put his hands in the air, like as if.
Like he just didn't care.
Yeah, but I think it was staged.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I think it, but based on that, that probably was part of it.
Yeah, I think it was definitely staged.
He encourages
staged, but
it.
Isn't that, that's quite weird.
It is weird. But he's a weird guy.
You say to your manager, yeah, I'm going to smash it tonight. Listen. Got this wicked idea for the end of the show, you know, like a bit of a nutter. But that's what I love. That is part another
bit
thing.
Of USB.
Yeah, that's it. I got like that's one of the things I love about hip hop. You know, is stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's mental. Yeah. But at least you know, it just keeps it interesting, doesn't it?
Plug one, plug two, guest plugs for you.
We're almost at the.
Have we asked all our questions?
Yeah,
we have.
I want to ask you one more thing, though.
Go on.
Go on then.
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you up to at the moment? Is there anything on plug?
Yeah, I mean, album next year. I've finally got around to writing my first album. It's taken flipping ages. But yeah, just got singles and an album out next year on Elevate, which is why I've got two labels. I've got Shogun Audio and I've got Elevate. And yeah, so that'll be out next year. Got another single coming out later this month, and just keep cracking on with shows, festivals, and
you do a show on Radio 1 as well, right?
I do, yeah. Monday nights, 1 a.m.
Yeah. I went to see Ed. You came to my show, didn't you?
Yeah.
Soho Theatre.
I remember because my mate Stu as well.
Yeah.
It was one of those moments where we went to see Rob, and my mate Stu was there, and he just did that thing where he pretty much said to you, I've got some good content for you.
I'd like to see a DJ do it.
The thing is, like, I've known him for ages, my mate, so I wasn't as cringing as I could have been. But you know when you're just like, oh, like, you know, like, because I knew that he would do something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What was so cool was, like, Ed brought some mates with him who were also MCs, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, this is really bad what I'm about to do, but I'm just going to do, like, a cartoon version of how it went down, right? Mm. So, like, I'd just be chatting. We went to this club, and, like, it's just mad to see Ed, like, just fucking shitloads of people just going nuts. So we're still at the front, and then one of Ed's mates began to me, right, I've really enjoyed the show. Anyway, I'm just off to do a little set. And then suddenly, 2 seconds later, I'd see him with a microphone going, who's ready for a jungle history lesson? Easy now. Like, watch the ride. And it was going fucking nuts.
Like, what makes me laugh there is you've gone from like he'd gone from a middle class kind of accent to Romesh, a great show. Listen, I've got some content for you. I think we're going really well. And then he switches it straight away like that, you know.
No, listen, mate. So good to have you on, man. Thank you very much.
Yeah, love being here. Sorry, I was late.
That's all right. No worries. Right, see you later. Bye, 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 bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.